Series Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our weather forecast for today calling for partial sunshine for the early going, then becoming sunny, but it'll be brisk and cold. Our high temperatures only in the lower 20s. Northwest winds at 15 to 20, gusting to 30. Those wind chill values as low as 0 to minus 5. For tonight, it'll be mostly clear and brisk. Nighttime low temperatures down to around 10 degrees. It'll be partial sun to start the day on Friday, then clouding over. Looks like some light snow later afternoon and evening. Highs for the day in the lower 20s with light snow likely at night. Light accumulations, generally a half inch to as much as a couple of inches in some places. Temperatures holding steady in the lower 20s. On Saturday, some clouds in the morning, then partly sunny, maybe some flurries. Temperatures in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Bill Mullen, Dudley's Parkview Restaurant, the New Rochelle Opera, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levinsohn, your host for the World Education and Culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2013, the 35th day of winter. We have gained 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday and 23 since last we met 2 weeks ago. Days are getting longer. That's the good part about winter. The sun rose at 7:12 this morning. It will set at 5:03 this afternoon. We will have 9 hours and 51 minutes of daylight today. When next we meet, we will have 10 hours. The moon will rise at 3:03 this afternoon, sets at 5:08 tomorrow morning. We are 3 days short of full moon, so the next full moon is January 27th. Which is, what is that, Sunday, Deb? When is the 27th? We're looking at the calendar. Sunday. Okay, that's your next full moon. But if you look in the night sky tonight, it'll be kind of big. Next high tides in New Rochelle. We are pretty high right now, 9:35, 1 hour ago. Next one will be at 10 p.m. in Dobbs Ferry, 7:51 a.m. this morning, 8:18 p.m., and in Peekskill at 9:13 p.m. So we're pretty high around the region right now if you want to get out there in your canoes and your kayaks. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's Florida. I just came back to this. That's all right. Cold is cold. Cold is good. Now our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Sergeant David J. Chambers, age 25, of Hampton, Virginia, was with the 2nd Infantry. He was killed by an improvised explosive device on foot patrol in Kandahar Province on January 16th. Sergeant Aaron X. Whitman, age 28, of Chester, Virginia, he was with the 3rd Infantry, killed by small arms fire in Nangarhar Province on January 10th. These two American servicemen were alive on the day of our last broadcast. Sergeant Aaron Whitman was killed on that very day, perhaps while we were on the air. Just a reminder that Americans are in harm's way at this very moment while we enjoy the fruits of the liberty which they buy for us with their blood. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future because there are no more deaths to report. One distressing statistic is that there were more deaths by suicide last year than actual combat deaths. And I guess that answers our question about non-combat related deaths, at least in part. The war in Afghanistan is winding down, and hopefully we will be able to report a casualty-free period in the very near future. Hopefully, too, we will be able to report the end of hostilities altogether, and this feature can end, a day I greatly look forward to. Time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. We saw the movie Gangster Squad. This film, you know, it's not even loosely based on the life of gangster Mickey Cohen. They use his name, but maybe loosely, but very loosely. Actually, the producers used the phrase inspired by a true story, not even based on one. So, you know, if you see a dog in the street, you can be inspired to write about a pony, I suppose. The Gangster Squad did actually exist, but it was created to combat Bugsy Siegel, who was a very different Jewish gangster who actually created pretty much Las Vegas, at least at first. But you can't actually call a non-Sicilian a mafioso, but he was in that vein of mobster. Sean Penn is one of our really good actors, and he delivers well in this film. Nick Nolte as LAPD Chief Barker will not tolerate a mob presence in L.A., so he creates this squad. I believe Bugsy Siegel was assassinated in Las Vegas by mob bosses, but let us not confuse this fiction with the facts. Suffice it to say that Nolte plays well, as does Ryan Gosling, his chief detective on the case, and Emma Stone is very nice to look at. Not a must-see movie by any means, not even a date movie, unless your date loves shooting and killing and bombing and chaos. But it isn't bad. It has some interesting directorial touches if you're an aficionado of that profession. Probably 2.5 stars. If you like shoot 'em up cop and gangster movies, then you will want to see this one. But don't use the action as actual information about the era. Don't go telling your friends you know all about it, because from this movie, you don't. There was a Mickey Cohen, yes. He was a brutal killer, yes. But no, he did not get to create, well, no, I'm sorry, not but no. No, he did not get to create a foothold in Los Angeles, which is a true part of this movie. But that's about the end of the factual part of it. Now, just a word, today's program marks the end of our 11th year. Next week begins our 12th. I am grateful for this opportunity to pursue my passion about the natural world and to speak with people I greatly admire. It is an ongoing privilege. And my guest today, very much in that spirit, is Brent Nixon, naturalist. Brent was with us on December 13th, and we just had to have him back. He spends part of his life on a cruise ship educating the public about the species which inhabit the area which the cruisers actually visit. I met Brent on an Alaskan cruise in June, and his talks on wildlife absolutely captivated me. He has an intimate association with seals, sea lions, eagles, bears, maybe bears too, but that's not the natural part of his life, and orca, and that is just the Alaskan species. Part of his life is spent in the wild among these animals, part on cruise ships and part at home in Washington State, raising his daughters, who he is getting ready to go to school at this very moment. Joining us from Washington State, welcome, Brent Nixon.
Hi, Bob. Thank you very much for having me once again on your radio show.
Well,
we're having blueberry pancakes here in Washington this morning.
Blueberry pancakes with your two daughters?
Yes, with my two daughters, Emma and Jesse. That's right.
Are they listening to the computer feed?
They are. So well, exciting for them, too.
Hi, kids. Yeah. Hi, Jesse. And who, the other name of the other child?
Jesse.
And the other one?
Emma.
Emma and Jesse. Hi, Emma and Jesse. Did they
say hi back?
Okay, good. So, exactly where are you in Washington State?
We're in Cashmere, Leavenworth area, which is the geographic center of Washington. So, we're 2.5 hours to Seattle, 2.5 hours to Spokane. And we sit on the sunny side of the mountain, so we get about 300 days of sunshine a year here in Cashmere.
It's got to be gorgeous, but it's not warm out there today, is it?
Well, it's brisk, 12 degrees, yeah. Not quite the same as there where you guys are on the East Coast. And my heart goes out to all of you on the East Coast there for that incredible cold snap that you're dealing with.
Well, I think it's probably about that somewhere in there. I haven't heard, but Debbie, do you know the exact temperature here? Have you listened to the forecast? No, we don't know, but it's somewhere in that too. But both you and I have come from warmer climes in the recent past. I was in the Everglades in Florida, where I jogged in t-shirt and shorts, and you were down in L.A., right?
I was. I got a chance to present at the famous Autry Theater, which is an amazing a collection of art, of course, associated with Gene Autry, but also right across the street from the L.A. Zoo. What a coincidence. But,
so I'm guessing that you spent a good deal of time there.
Oh, we did. And as much of my free time as I could, I got over and got a chance to watch animals. And to me, to watch an animal in captivity versus watch it out in the wild, there's some distinct behavioral differences that are fascinating. You know, how the animal learns to deal with that captive environment and how it entertains itself. It's amazing.
Does it sadden you to see animals in captivity when you've seen those very same animals living richly in the wild?
Well, yes and no. You know, yes from the standpoint of, you know, you want every animal to be free, you know, but no from the standpoint of when I start thinking about the millions and millions of people that are educated, you know, by that experience, and hopefully that spawns them into wanting to go see the animal out in the wild. And so a lot of the zoologic gardens are moving very quickly toward these animals being the ambassadors and showing off their habitats and doing these natural enclosures, which I think is a fabulous move to educate their guests that are coming to the zoo to what the animals like out in the wild.
When I was a boy in the Bronx at Bronx Zoo, it was a very famous zoo, there were just big animals in little cages, even lions and tigers. They, you know, they would pace endlessly in small cells, and I really felt bad for them. Now they've got a big Bengal something exhibit where the tigers roam free, more or less, and the lions also have plenty of room. So I appreciate the changes that have been made.
I think that the zoologic gardens as a whole, you know, have heard the voice of the people that basically are not real comfortable with animals being in those little tiny spaces and pacing and being just basically manic, you know, as far as their behavior is concerned. And we see that with the captive cetacean as well. You know, when you start looking at captive beluga whales and captive orca, sometimes known as killer whales, and some of the others. And one of the few marine mammals that seems to have done really well in captivity are seals and sea lions. Sea lions in particular, they just seem to have totally figured out, first and foremost, is they don't have to worry about ever getting ever again. And then the other is they figured out that the people make cool noises, and so the more noise they make, the people react to it.
I never thought about that, but now that I do think about it, the seals and sea lions, I don't always look closely enough to know the difference. I've noticed that they do seem to play, and they do seem to have a good time, and they do holler and hoot, and they do seem to relate to the people, and they get free food. So I guess it's not really jail for them. Anyway, we're going to have to take a break, Brent. When we come back, we'll talk about your sailing with Jacques Cousteau and your work today and Celebrity Cruise Lines. Okay, you are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Hope, Kansas, Hope, Arkansas, or Hopewell Junction, New York, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. We'll be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A confirmation hearing now underway for Senator John Kerry. Colleagues on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee questioning him for the position of Secretary of State.
I've reached out to a number of senators and also key staffers, and the overwhelming majority say they expect his reception to be friendly.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. Kerry leads that Senate committee. Senator Bob Menendez on the big job ahead for Kerry if confirmed.
Securing our embassies and protecting our overseas personnel, to promoting commerce, enhancing cross-cultural ties, and keeping America secure through cooperation where possible and isolation where necessary, as in the case of Iran.
And on Wall Street, the S&P 500 trading above 1,500 for the first time since December 2007. This is unemployment numbers show new claims last week dropped to a five-year low. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Imagine a place alive with sights and sounds, where 5,300 gleaming slot machines play their own special music while a live concert is just about to begin. Surrounding you are all new roulette, baccarat, and craps games that put you in the middle of the action. So where are you? Vegas? Atlantic City? Nope, Empire City Casino. Join in on the excitement of all new table games, roulette, baccarat, and craps, and 5,300 slots. Empire City Casino, your home for table games. Exit 2 off the New York State Thruway.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to AM 1460 WVOX in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in, I got to do this slower now. I just rushed it before. If you're listening in Hope, Kansas, Hope, Arkansas, or Hopewell Junction, New York, Zurich, Schaffhausen, or La Chaux-de-Fonds, Switzerland, or Vatan, France, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. This program is environmentally sound. This is the end of our 11th year. We will begin our 12th year next Thursday. And my guest today is wonderful, fabulous naturalist whom I adore, Brent Nixon. Brent, welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much, Bob, and thanks for the accolades. Even my mom doesn't say anything.
Well, you know she feels that way. I have met numbers of people, naturalists and so on, and I've interviewed many, and I've read books by many, and some are very engaging and very astute and very knowledgeable, very spiritual, but I've never met one who actually makes a presentation like you do aboard celebrity cruises, where you become a bear, you become an eagle, you become a seal or a sea lion, and you become an orca. And just watching you, it was like watching a stage play and being informed at the same time. And so, okay, well, that's enough. You did sail with Jacques Cousteau, and last time you were on, you told us something about that experience. Just briefly, bring us up to date on the influence that Jacques Cousteau had on your life.
Well, the beauty of Jacques was that he was passionate by everything. He had this phenomenal curiosity about everything, from a little tiny nudibranch sea slug, you know, all the way up to orca, a killer whale, or a shark. And Jacques would ask questions like, well, do they sleep? When you start thinking about fish sleeping, you start thinking, and that's when we found out, yes, indeed, sharks do sleep. You know, that we found out where they sleep, and that kind of curiosity, of course, was innate for me. And so we hit it off right off the bat, and I was asking some of the same questions, even though I was significantly younger, and he liked the way that I asked questions, and he liked my curiosity and my passion for. So there was never a time where I felt like I was wrong for asking questions. And sometimes I ran into that when I was in school. I was always asking questions, and the teachers were looking at me like, would you please be quiet? I'm trying to get through this lesson, you know? But Jacques was not like that. You know, he just, you know, you could ask all day, and he was happy, you know, because that's what he was doing in his mind. He was asking questions all day long, and luckily, he was surrounded by a phenomenally talented team of individuals that function the same way. And so when he would say, well, why can't we do that? Everybody would say, well, yeah, why can't we? And from there, we'd springboard. It was probably one of the best Mensa think tanks that I've ever come across, you know, as far as being out in the wild. And that passion rolled into Jacques was not the best as far as being in front of the camera or being, you know, in front of people. But what he was really good at talking with other scientists. And for whatever reason, I ended up with a gift of being able to take what the scientists were talking about.
And he also had in common with Albert Einstein that he considered imagination to be the most important thing. And if you can ask those kind of questions, it's nothing but imaginative.
Exactly. And there were no boundaries as far as Einstein was concerned. I mean, the only boundary was your own personal limitations that you put on yourself. And that's, you know, I kind of felt the same way, except for that, you know, when it comes to paying for the hotel after you've stayed at the hotel, you know, there are some boundaries.
No, you have to know when and where to go to the bathroom, when and where to eat, and how to dress yourself. And that's about it, I guess. The rest of it is... yeah, you have to be that pragmatic.
For the military, you know, I know how to eat anytime.
Okay, now, you did refer to orca as killer whales, which when you gave your impassioned speech about them, you made it clear that they're not any more killers than any other animal that just hunts for a living. There's nothing gratuitous about them. They're not killers like we're killers. You would call us killer humans before you'd call them killer whales, yet you did use the term. Why did you use it? How is it wrong? And when is that video coming out?
Well, the beauty of history, of course, is that we have the right to adjust it. You know, that's what Wikipedia is doing all the time. We're adjusting to correctness as far as history is concerned. And, of course, back during the early whaling era, that's exactly what those animals did. They killed whales. And so to be grammatically correct, you'd say whale killer in the bigger picture. And so the early whaling teams and the early people that were out on the sea saw this animal as something that took on these other macro, you know, fauna that were out there, and so they called them killer whales.
But they themselves are whales, are they not? I mean, they're about 15 feet long, and isn't that about the cutoff between dolphins and whales among the cetaceans?
Well, orca, also known as killer whales, is the largest dolphin. It is within the delphinidae. It's within the dolphin world. And so at females are 25 to 20, maybe 26, 27 feet, and males are
really?
27 to 29 feet as physical length.
So where did I get 15 from?
And with that, they are an impressive dolphin in every way, shape, and form. And the way that we as scientists identify them clearly into the delphinidae is their teeth, first and foremost. The shape of their teeth is that they have conical-shaped teeth.
Okay.
But it's also their, you know, their physiology as a whole. So we look at the gestalt of things when we're looking at are they dolphins. And orca as a whole, they're an apex predator. So they fit into that same category. If you wanted to, you know, you could call them, you know, right in there with the sharks and some of the other big predators that are out on the planet.
Well, but sharks being fish, dolphins being mammals, that would be confusing, I think. But is the behavior of all dolphins similar to the behavior of orca, or are they different in a significant way?
We see some, as you start watching the animal in captivity and you start watching the animal out in the wild, what you see is some, what I classify as some higher thinking behavior that's going on that would suggest, it just depends on where you fit in the scientific community, that it's a thinking being. You know, it's a creature that's analyzing the scenario. It's analyzing its social structure. You know, we're talking about an animal that has a family, just like we have families. And then we're talking about a creature that functions and has rules within your family. And they pass information from one generation to the next, which means they have culture.
They have culture, right.
Well, and that's huge.
But is that the same for all dolphins or just orcas?
Not quite the same, no.
Okay.
And that's what kind of separates orca from some of the other dolphins
okay.
that are out there, is that we see a much more developed societal structure,
okay.
a matriarch. It's a female-dominated, female-controlled, female-manipulated society. But within that, it's a very, very developed social structuring. And there are some very distinct rules that they follow. And because of that, and the fact that they manage their numbers so that they don't overeat a resource, and there's some really cool things that
okay.
could be learned by watching orca.
Okay, now let me just cut you, because we could talk about orcas for the next hour, and we only have about 5 minutes. first of all, I do want to know when your video is coming out. We're speaking with Brent Nixon, naturalist. His videos are fascinating and extremely informative. I've seen several of them. I own a couple of them, and I'm looking forward to the orca being released. Is the orca video going to be released anytime soon, Brent?
Well, we're targeting May. That's our hope, is to release it in May. We're basically mixing down music and mixing down some final nuances
okay.
associated with it right now. And it's one of those videos that you want to release at the same time, because orca's constantly changing the rules. You keep saying, as soon as you release it, you're going to have to make another one.
Okay, and you're gonna call me immediately when it's released, and I'm going to plug it on the air, and I'm going to watch it and buy it, and
wow.
I'm going to love it, I know.
Well, I'm flattered. Thank you very much.
Hopefully by
May.
I've seen you work, and I've seen you on Celebrity Cruise Lines, which is where we met. And let's say something about Celebrity Lines, since they were the vehicle through which we met. I think they deserve to get credit for that. Celebrity Lines actually are set apart from other cruise lines in that they hire actual professionals to give presentations relevant to the ports of call on their itinerary. I guess the food is the same, and the ships are the same, and the staff is polite, you know. So, but what sets one cruise line apart from the other? Why don't you just tell us a few things about Celebrity and how they are unique?
Well, I'm you know, as a professional in the field, constantly, you know, I'm always looking for somebody that's environmentally sensitive. I'm looking for somebody that wants to communicate a good message and also respects me. That I have, this is my job, this is my life. And there's an awful lot of companies that are out there that say, well, we'll give you a free cruise. Well, a free cruise doesn't pay the bills. And celebrity has stepped way out of the fold by saying, not only do we recognize that you need to pay your bills, but we also recognize that you're a professional that is good at communicating the environment. And that's what they want for their guests. They want an incredible experience of being immersed into Alaska and immersed into the animals that are there. And they see their natural history people as being really good at doing that. So if somebody wanted to go to Australia, as an example, Milos Radovic was just on the celebrity vessel down there talking about kangaroos. Well, that's what I do, too. I talk about Komodo dragons and kangaroos and all sorts of other things in order to give you that base. And celebrity really likes that. And for me, you know, it's fun to work for a company that really likes.
Yeah, and it was absolutely great. Now the cruise. I don't know how other cruise lines are as far as their hospitality goes. I presume they're all about the same. You know, food is food, and hospitality is you hire polite people to do that. We have to quit now, though, Brent. But I think next time, I hope you'll come back again. We'll talk about the Komodo dragons because that's a fascinating story, and we just didn't get to it today.
Well, I hope that I get a chance to talk with your guests again, Bob, and my daughter say thank you for letting me be on the air as well, and I look forward to hopefully getting a chance to chat with everybody.
I look forward to it again. Maybe we'll do a cruise together again. Jesse and Emma, thank you for listening.
And say hi and thank you as well.
Bye-bye. I'd like to thank Brent Nixon for joining us on Environmentally Sound this morning for the second time. I would hope to have him back again in the not-distant future, and I hope his Orca video becomes available very, very soon. As I said, we did want to talk about Komodo dragons, which are a fascinating and nasty animal, unless you love all animals, as I do. So in their nastiness and in their stinkiness and in their slobberiness and their aggression, we still got to love them, right? We still got to love them like we like rats and roaches. In fact, I am fond of quoting, the crow doth sing as sweetly as the lark. Our thought for the week, worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A, perhaps the world. Next up, Howard Sturman, who got teary-eyed watching the inauguration. I don't know why. Many thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy for your passionate belief in and support of the First Amendment. Thanks to Don Stevens for keeping it all together so we run as smoothly as we do. Thanks to Debbie Schechter, who never drops the engineering ball. I am Bob Levinsohl, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
When the boss starts stressing you out.
Can you remind me what I pay you people for?
Turn us up and drown him out. AM 1460 WVOX, New Rochelle.